Welcome back to the Garden with Joy and Holly radio show. Valerie Rice, moments away, but just because summer's winding down, that doesn't mean the Yellow Jackets have decided to go home for the winter. They can still be very aggressive, and Rescue has a product that can prevent you from being injured from them.
During these dry summer months, you'll notice more aggressive Yellow Jackets flying around. They also like to stick around in the early fall. They're looking for your barbecue meats, your sweet drinks, as well as water sources. You want to keep them at bay with the Rescue Yellow Jacket traps. Rescue Yellow Jacket traps are an eco-friendly do-it-yourself option to keep those stinging pests away from you and your guests or whoever is around. Those traps use a powerful lure for the Yellow Jackets and will not attract beneficial honeybees. They are made in the USA. You can go to rescue.com where you can find all the Rescue products, that's Yellow Jacket traps and more at rescue.com.
They may not be able to prevent you from getting injured, but they will certainly give the bugs or the Yellow Jackets something to occupy themselves with. Holly, let's go to the hotline and bring in our guest for this week.
Valerie Rice is an author, blogger, and very passionate about seasonal cooking and more. Her new book, Lush Life, Food and Drinks from the Garden, came out this year. Welcome to the program, Valerie.
Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for taking time out of your day. And I know that not only you're going to educate Holly and myself, but all of our listeners across the country. And I'll start with this right here. What exactly is seasonal eating, which is most people might be familiar with, but also expand on what seasonal drinking is?
Well, it's so fun. You know, seasonal eating and drinking are just really about flavor, right? You know, you guys know this, you know, just in your garden that you, when you grow things, they just taste better on it automatically. So I think it's just really about, you know, getting the best tasting food you can get your hands on. And, you know, when I planned my first garden, I was, you know, growing things that I was interested in, but I wasn't necessarily growing things that my family was interested in. So it was a big learning lesson in that regards. And we, you know, then we just kind of had to dig deep and plant things that we all like to eat and with flavor in mind. And really, you know, the garden lends itself to such great flavor and such beautiful food and drinks. And so it was really important for me when we put the book together that we created plenty of recipes for cocktails and mocktails and how to utilize all that beautiful produce that tastes so great in the backyard. So, and, you know, I really wanted it to come from an approach of, you know, a home cook and not, you know, when you're at home, you don't have access to all those ingredients that those amazing bartenders have, but you do have access to beautiful produce that tastes great. Just with very simple, you put some, you know, your favorite gin together and you muddle some lemon verbena and sparkling water and you're on your way to a beautiful, delicious cocktail with only like three ingredients.
Now with your cocktail making, is there a process where you know that these ingredients are going to go together, or is there some experimental going on that you go on, hey, this worked out really well, but we're never going to do this again because it was horrible?
Well, I think it definitely depends on how many cocktails you've had. but no, I think, you know, that old adage of like what grows together goes together mm-hmm. is such a great learning lesson when you're experimenting. And yeah, I mean, there's always, I think that's why if you just keep things simple, then they're going to be delicious every time. You know, you have like cucumbers right now and mint and that goes great in a cocktail together just with some tonic and vodka. So, you know, it's, you don't have to, you know, be mixing all these crazy things together just to have a great cocktail. So
now a lot of people, maybe they want to expand their seasonal palette, but they're not quite sure how. Maybe they're like, you know, I only have so much gardening space, but I'm curious about this. How can people expand their seasonal palette?
Well, you know, that's such a good question. Because I think it's really, like I said earlier, it's really important to grow something that your family and you like to eat, right? But you can grow things, you know, that you can, I like to grow things that I can't easily access. And so that being said, you know, tomatoes are very accessible. You can get them at any grocery store, but you have access to Sun Gold tomatoes, which are just amazingly delicious and like over the top with flavor. And so for me, it's always about seeking out those amazing seeds and starts that you can plug in and have really special things like a green zebra tomato, or, you know, a San Marzano over your traditional Roma tomato. So just seeking out those interesting things, I think, is a really great way to expand your palate. And then from there, it's kind of contagious, right? You know, you like right now we're planting, you know, pink celery, and my whole family loves celery, but let's try the pink one because it's just more different. It has like slightly different flavor. So I think that's like really good. Like if you like an ingredient, then kind of seek out those, like, you know, the purple cosmic carrots I planted today, and, you know, just plant all those interesting things that you can't always access very easily at your local grocery store.
And I think you said it quite well there, that, you know, there's more than just orange carrots and red tomatoes. They're the palate of a Cherokee Purple or a Black Creme or a Brandywine is undistinguishable. I mean, it's incomparable to a traditional red tomato that you would normally kids think, oh, tomatoes are always red. Tomatoes come in basically every color of the rainbow, and they're amazed by what can be grown in their backyard.
It's true. And, you know, you start off with baby steps, right? You might go to the nursery and pick a few things, and then, you know, then it's contagious from there. Like, oh, maybe I can seek out some other things or find an amazing seed catalog. And then you have access, your whole world opens mm-hmm. up. And, you know, those people working at the nurseries are so knowledgeable, and they're going to steer you in the right direction too. And also in my book, we have planting guides too. So it was really, when we were putting the book together, I wanted to do an introduction of like what our life really looks like here in Santa Barbara and what are the things that we make on repeat in the seasons. But then also, gosh darn it, get to work because you have to plant for next season too. So I wanted to have a chart. So you're eating tomatoes right now, but we're planting beets too. So it was really important for me to have both, because I think a lot of cookbooks talk about naturally what is in season and to cook from it. But it was really important for me to put that garden spin on it and showcase some really interesting varieties of just different things that I've learned in the 20 years of gardening, like the different things that I've learned that taste great and are fun to seek out.
And you growing in Santa Barbara, for many of our listeners, can you describe like how big of a challenge that is? You're growing almost year round, intense heat and very little water. That's got to be a really big challenge for you.
Yeah, it works well with growing tomatoes, I'll tell you. I think the best tomatoes don't need that much water. But, you know, we're lucky here in Santa Barbara because we're coastal. So mm-hmm. we don't have, you know, the Inland Empire or, you know, the San Joaquin Valley. It's really hot in the summer. But here we have a very moderate climate. And so it really does allow you to grow year round, which makes me so excited. But it does, you're right, it takes a lot of effort and forethought and trial and error. But really, like, if you just kind of stay on it and you move the things, like, I don't know how you guys are right now, but I've just gone through the process of pulling out a lot of my tomatoes. They just were underperforming and didn't look good anymore and really weren't, you know, fruiting. And I had some blossom en route. So, I pulled a bunch of things out, and I've been planting the new stuff for fall. And I've already added for fall. You know, one of the things that's really important to keep in mind when you're growing a four-season garden is that, you know, you can have your tomatoes growing and your cucumbers growing, and then you can plant some leafy greens underneath so it gets a little bit more shade. And then when you pull the tomatoes out, you have those that are already planted and ready to go.
Definitely. So, yeah, you kind of touched on your book a little bit, but your book, Lush Life, Food and Drinks from the Garden, it's a cookbook. Aside from, you know, that seasonal eating, what will inspire our readers to pick up a copy, and what's something unique or different in it that would intrigue them?
Well, I think it's unique and different because it encompasses all the three things that we've been talking about, eating, drinking, gardening, all in one place. And I really do a deep dive in the recipes, and they're my tried and true favorite recipes that we make on repeat. And they're they're just really accessible too is also important for me, not to like have a bunch of crazy ingredients in something. I wanted something that people could really cook from simply. And because really the best food, the most seasonal food is the most tasty food, right? I mean, mm-hmm. you don't need to do a lot to a, you know, tomato to make it taste good. You slice it, you put a little sea salt. And if you have some chives in your garden, you can sprinkle those on top too. And you're on your way to a beautiful side dish. So make a simple protein and you really haven't done a whole lot of work, right? So that was really important for me to have those kind of simple recipes and then have the cocktails and then the garden notes as well throughout.
Well, I want to ask you about wine. Many people aren't sure about different wines or wine pairing. What are some ways for people to become more familiar with that genre of drink?
Well, I think you have to go with an open mind into wine, right? And it's really powerful. It's a very powerful experience to know somebody or to have a great wine shop in your neighborhood, somebody that you trust and you can talk to. So I think it's really important also when you go to a wine shop and you tell them what you're cooking and be honest with them. Say, I want a $30 bottle of wine or I want a $15 bottle of wine. And this is what I'm making, and let them inspire you. They're the very, very knowledgeable. And I think we don't ask enough when it comes to wine. And so there's so many, you know, intelligent, thoughtful people that this is what they do with their whole life is picking wine for people and picking wine for their shop. So they know what's going to be best and they want you to come back. So they're going to make a good recommendation. And I think that's just such a great place to start if you're not comfortable in the wine world. And then once you get to know them, then have them put like a few together for you. Like say you really like Chardonnay and you could get some suggestions of that. And you say, well, maybe now I want to try something else and let them guide you and let them use their knowledge to guide you.
That definitely makes a lot of sense, especially if it's something that maybe you cook a lot, you can figure out the pairings and then you have a winning pair, right?
Absolutely.
So what do you think is the most versatile garden vegetable to cook with? Maybe that you find is one that you always just like constantly are always finding lots of uses for.
Okay. Well, without a doubt, it's wild arugula for me. It grows so easily. You can't find it hardly anywhere. You find a lot of the conventional arugula around. You can macerate it and put it in a cocktail. You can saute it. You can have it raw just with like some beautiful Parmesan cheese and some wonderful Tuscan olive oil. You can, it grows the most beautiful flowers that are yellow and they're really tasty. They taste like arugula, but they're a lot sweeter. And so I just think it's so fun to have something like that. And then you can grow it in a pot. You can grow it in the ground. You can grow it in your veggie beds. And then you just cut it and it grows back again. So it's really simple and easy. And that's something that is year-round growing in my garden.
Well, Valerie, we greatly appreciate the time you've offered us. You've certainly educated Holly and myself's mind on all of this. How can people find out, how can our listeners find out more about you, where to get your book, how to get a hold of you if they've got questions?
Well, you can find me on Instagram at Eat Drink Garden, and you can also find me on my blog, eatdrinkgarden.com. And the book is on Amazon, but it's also available on my website as well.
Well, greatly appreciate the time you've offered us, not only Holly and myself, but all of our listeners from across the country.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It's just a joy to meet you.
Absolutely.
For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.